We're so thankful for the presence of all that could be with us this morning. It's especially good to have Brother Mike and Brother Terry back with us after some recent bouts. We're glad to see y'all back in the pews. It's great to have Jeff and Carrie and Claire and Quinn and Grandmother Lydia with us this morning. We're so glad that y'all could come by and spend time with us and share the Easter morning with us. Good to have Brother Gary with us this morning as well. Today is the day that the world traditionally celebrates the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe I'm correct in saying the Jews celebrate their Passover at this time. It's a pretty widespread time of remembrance, of reflection. We as the Church of Christ celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection each Sunday with our Lord's Supper. We believe that's what the New Testament teaches us to do. And yet, this time of resurrection, this time of spring, you can't help but feel that God is in control, that the world is in good hands, and that our Lord and Savior reigns in heaven above. Surprise! Lesson this morning. Our study, our unit of study is 1 John, the second chapter, verses 18 through 27, where he talks about Antichrist. So on the way over here, Karen said, did you borrow from Matthew Henry again this morning? I said, absolutely. He's my introduction. She says, uh-oh, we're in trouble. So here is Matthew Henry's summary of what we're going to study this morning. Matthew Henry said, here is a moral prognostication, a forecast of the time, a description of the time. The end is coming. Little children, it is the last time, verse 18. Whether John is addressing young in the faith Christians or just speaking fondly of his brethren, he announces an alarm to all Christians. Little children, it is the last time. Meaning, our Jewish polity and church and state is hastening to an end. The Mosaic institution and discipline are just upon vanishing away. Daniel's weeks are now expiring. The destruction of the Hebrew city, Jerusalem, and sanctuary is approaching. The end whereof must be with the flood, and to the end of the war desolations are determined, Daniel 9:26. It is fitting, it is meet, that the disciples should be warned of the haste and end of time, and alert as much as possible to the prophetic periods of time. All right. I happen to agree with Mr. Henry 100%. When we hit this verse, you'll see in the very first verse, it says, it is the last hour. For 68 years, I've struggled with, John, how can this be so? You say it's the last hour, and that's 2,000 years ago. I don't get it. He wasn't talking about the end of time like everybody wants to believe that subscribes to the premillennialist doctrines. It's not talking about the end of time. He's talking about the end of the Jewish age, just like all of the Old Testament, the last days, was talking about the end of the Jewish age, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And so I went back this morning and I said, okay, so when was 1 John written? Well, as you can imagine, nobody really knows for sure. And some would say, well, it was written while he was in exile on Patmos, AD 90, 95. Maybe even AD 100. But I found one Jewish website that said, no, actually it was written right before AD 70. And that makes perfect sense. He was talking about the last hour, the imminent destruction of everything that they as Jews had known. It was gone. It was vaporized within a year. All right. So let's read for introduction then our passage of study this morning. And then we'll see during the lesson this morning, during our study, how can we apply this to us today? What does this mean to us? Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? He who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received in him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. There's a lot here. But we're going to look at this term Antichrist this morning. We're going to see what John had in mind and see how we can benefit from his words, his warning that the Jewish age was about to end, because, folks, at some point, our Christian age will also end. Before we continue with our thoughts, however, we certainly want to approach God's throne in a word of prayer. When John wrote this letter, he was facing some pretty horrific heresies, a tremendous number of heresies. There were three major ones that were afflicting the church at this time, and one of them was called Docetism, and it taught that Jesus was God. Jesus was a spirit, and he really wasn't really a man. He was a spirit. He came here, he appeared for a little while, and then he went back to where he came from. Then you had the Gnostics, and the Gnostics were the elites of the time. If you didn't have a supernatural philosophical knowledge of salvation and things religious, then you didn't count. And then there were the Corinthians, and they believed that Jesus was a man, a good man, but just a man and not God. So you see all different flavors. Baskin Robbins 31 catch of heresies that John was dealing with here as he wrote this letter. And he's trying to warn the Christians to remain true and remain faithful. And that's what I want to concentrate on this morning. What is the secret to success in the Christian life? And John gives it to us here in this passage. Now, I will say this at the beginning. Almost everyone in the Western world has some familiarity with the word Antichrist. It's an ominous word. It's a word that carries with it certain apocalyptic visions. It connotes a certain darkness, a certain blackness, a certain bleakness, a certain fearsomeness. If you know anything about the premillennialist teaching, I can't say the word. When the word Antichrist comes up, you think immediately about a vicious beast who arises at the end of human history and is empowered by Satan and dominates the world and forces everybody to worship him and massacres people all over the globe, particularly Jewish people and people who confess Jesus Christ. That is the common or the Western world view of Antichrist. Well, just as I think the great fallacy of this teaching is that there's going to be some sort of utopia on earth and Jesus Christ reigning here, leading us to a false hope. I think this teaches us that, well, we don't need to worry about Antichrist right now. We'll just wait and deal with that down the road. I think it's a ploy. And so, as we study this morning, we're going to discover that there are many antichrists around us right now. In fact, they're everywhere. They ride with you on the airplane. They ride with you on the bus. They talk to you in the neighborhood. They're involved in every aspect of human life, education, government, medicine, entertainment, religion. They're everywhere, these antichrists. How are we to identify them? How do we know whom we've run into an antichrist? Well, John teaches us Any misrepresentation of Christ constitutes an antichrist attitude. Anybody who rejects Jesus Christ as Messiah, Lord and Savior, anybody who rejects Jesus as God, anyone who rejects Jesus as man because he was fully God-man, is antichrist. And you see right here, this is the summary of the heresies that John was dealing with at that time. He hits it all when you talk about Jesus was God, he's Lord and Savior, he's Messiah, he's also came in human flesh. He was the Word incarnate. And so, to make it very simple, you might remember Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. There isn't any middle ground. You're either with the Lord or you're against him. And that's what the prefix anti means, against Christ. That which is opposed to Christ, that which is not Christ. So you're either Christian or you're an antichrist. It's kind of hard to think about the fact that antichrists wait on you in the restaurant, check you out in the market, but they do. Anybody who does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not embrace him as Messiah, King, as God, as man, is guilty of the spirit of antichrist. You're either for him or you're antichrist. And so, the emphasis here in John's teaching is on Christians and antichrists. And he's trying to clarify who the true Christians are. He's trying to put his finger on the deceivers, especially those deceivers who infiltrate the church and try to replace the truth of God with lies. That's what John is talking about when he's in this passage this morning. Now, we understand what Satan wants to do is sow a lie everywhere he can in the world so that people do not believe God. Satan does not want people worshiping God. Satan hates God who judged him and sentenced him to a lake of fire and even created a lake of fire for Satan and all the demons as well as all the antichrists, the human beings who reject him. And we see that all the way through the New Testament. No sooner is the church planted, founded, and launched in the second chapter of Acts than heresy just hammers the church. And all the writers of the New Testament epistles that are working with the church and writing to the church deal with the heresies that are assaulting the church because of this grand satanic strategy. Not all antichrists infiltrate the church. Anyone who rejects Christ is antichrist. So not all of them infiltrate the church, but many do. And John wants his readers, including us, to be able to distinguish between the true Christians and the antichrists who infiltrate the church to replace the truth of God with lies. So in this passage, John gives us some moral tests by which we can determine a Christian. Not only by what they believe, but how they live. That's basic. We understand that. We subscribe to that. And the two moral categories have to do with obedience and love. True believers who have been transformed obey God. They obey the Word of God gladly and eagerly. Also, they love God, and they love others, and they do not love the world. So true Christians, John is pointing out through this epistle, are known by their doctrine, they have the right view of sin and the right view of Christ, and they're known by their behavior. They are obedient to the Word of God. So here in verse 18, the very first part of our passage, John presents a very severe contrast. You can look at the church. I would tend to say, well, there's people in the church who believe the truth, and there are people in the church who don't. There are people in the church who obey and love, and there are people that don't obey and don't love. Brethren, how much more stark is it to say, as John does, that in the church there are Christians and antichrists? These are such polar opposites. And for John in this text, the issue is their view of Christ. If you have the right view of Christ, it leads you to salvation. If you have the wrong view of Christ, you are, John says, an antichrist. In this passage, John teaches that there are three characteristics that identify the antichrist. These antichrists are false Christians. Not all of them infiltrate the church to sow lies and deceptions, attacking the nature of Christ and the work of Christ, but he says those that do, he says they have three characteristics. John says the first characteristic is they depart from the fellowship. Whenever there's a true church, a pure church, a true fellowship, whenever there are those that genuinely love Christ, these liars and deceivers and antichrists don't survive. Brethren, I pray that's the case here. They come into the church, they endeavor to destroy the church by destroying the discord of lies and deception, but eventually they leave. In verse 19, they went out from us. They left us. You're not going to abandon the truth for a lie if you're a true believer. So their departure, John says, was their unmasking. Luke 12 and verse 2 says, nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. John says, if they'd been of us, they would have remained with us. If they'd been true Christians, they would still be in the church. That is the principle. And here's our key to success in the Christian life as taught by the Apostle John. Salvation is proven by perseverance. Staying with the gospel through thick and thin. This is our key to success. Perseverance. True Christians stay true to the faith. Colossians 1:21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. You were reconciled if you continue in the faith. It is an element of redemption that perseveres. It is part of God's saving grace, his gift. The Apostle Paul says, if indeed you continue. There are no defectors among the ranks of the transformed. Hebrews 3 and 6, Christ is faithful as a son over his house. Notice, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence. If we persevere. If we persevere. How do you tell when someone really belongs to God? How do you tell them? How do you tell when someone really belongs to Christ? If they continue. If you continue in my word, you're my real disciple. Hebrews 3:14, we become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning to the end. Brethren, this is perseverance. This is what John is talking about. The Antichrist do not persevere. They bloom, they appear on the scene, and they leave. They depart from the fellowship. John says, you'll know the true Christians because they are going to persevere. He says, Antichrists are all over the planet now. Some of them are going to come in and come into the church, and they're going to try and deceive brethren and lead them away. But when they leave, John says, know that they were never really of us. And the fact that this work is going on, that this great satanic strategy is in place, is because, John said, it's the last hour, it's the end times. It's the end of the Jewish age. It's when there will be, as Jesus foretold, false messiahs and false Christs. He said, you hear that Christ is over here in Cristobal? Don't go running over there. He's not going to show up over there, Jesus said. He didn't use Cristobal. You get the idea. John said that was the mark. That was going to be a mark. There are going to be a lot of false messiahs show up. We know it's the last hour. So instead of questioning your faith, John says, it should strengthen your faith. It should be the very opposite of producing doubt. It should produce confidence. The Antichrists were phony from the start, he said. It just took this to unmask them. And so Paul continues in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They're not true Christians. And we just learned in 1 John 2 and verse 19, some will fall away from the faith. They'll depart from the fellowship. How will they fall away? They'll pay attention to deceitful spirits, to doctrines concocted by demons. They will believe hellish lies. How are they going to hear them? By means of the hypocrisy of liars seared by their own conscience. That's what John tells us. The Antichrist have no problem in preaching deceit and falsehood. Now, as Christians, as brethren, as leaders in the church, we want to do everything we can to protect the church. We want to guard the truth. But we know that Antichrists are going to come and challenge and assault us, because this is what John tells us is going to happen. This is the satanic strategy. And we want to keep that damage to a minimum, if at all possible, don't we? They may not join this congregation. They may not join this group of believers. But they'll try and influence members of this congregation. And I hadn't thought of it this way, but you can do it through books, tapes, the internet, TV. Any way that media conveys information, we're going to be hit with Antichrist strategies. That's just the way it is. So John says, our job is to be on guard, to watch, and to persevere. Because you're going to be assaulted. You're going to be hit with, I wonder if it's possible that Jesus isn't quite what they said he was. We're going to be assaulted with those strategies. John says, be on your guard and persevere. They may affirm the deity of Christ, but deny the gospel of Christ. But when you add it all together, you must affirm that Jesus is who he is, the anointed Messiah of God, that he is the Son of the Father, that is God, one with God, that he is God in human flesh, that he is the God-man, perfectly human as well as perfectly divine. And you must affirm not only who he is, but what he taught, the gospel. Oh, believe and obey. John tells us that is how we are going to prove that we are truly Christians. So John says, look, you can tell the Antichrist they're going to depart from the fellowship. They're going to leave the church. Secondly, they deny the faith. And I think this is pretty obvious, verse 22 and 23. Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. True Christians have the true or the right view of Christ, his work, his person, his gospel. The people who affirm these things are true Christians. The ones that do not affirm this are Antichrists. Not only do you have to believe in Christ to be saved, but you have to believe that Christ is the true Christ revealed in the Scripture, not just your own version of Jesus Christ. Not only do you have to believe in Christ, but in Jesus Christ, who is the anointed, promised Messiah of God, who is both God and man. You have to believe what he taught about salvation, the true gospel. And you must obey that gospel, how he taught us to live. God the Father and God the Son are linked. The Antichrist is one who denies the Father and the Son. You can't deny the deity of Jesus Christ without denying God, who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So John is pounding away at these heresies that were assaulting the church. And in the process, he gives us the keys to success. To persevere, to believe, and to obey, and to be on our guard against these false doctrines. So, this again is, we have here this marvelous and critical doctrinal test for a true Christian. You can't be in God's kingdom unless you confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Look at 1 John 4 and verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And whenever a spirit that comes that does not confess Jesus is not from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. John continues this all through his letter. Always, brethren, you come back to Jesus Christ. John was dealing with a lot of strange and bizarre views of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we do that today as well. He is the Son of the Father, the second member of the Trinity. He is one with God. He is God. I and the Father are one, he said. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I work and the Father works. That is to say, we both work. And at the same time, we work because we're one. There were some who said that he was just a man and not God. And there were some who said that Christ was a spirit, not human, a spook in carpenter's clothing. Whatever side of that error you'd like to land on, the results are exactly the same. A denial of the incarnation, a denial that Jesus Christ is the God-man. Any denial of that, or the fact that he is the Messiah of God, the promised king, prophet, priest, redeemer, savior, any denial or alteration of the teaching of Christ constitutes an antichrist spirit. You cannot repudiate Christ in any sense without putting yourself on the side of the antichrist. And so we see, John says, antichrist, they're going to depart from the fellowship. And two, they're going to deny the faith. Third thing they're going to try and do is deceive the faithful. Verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. It's an unsuccessful effort, but they tried. They may toss us to and fro, brethren. They may blow us around with these winds of doctrine, but as true Christians, they cannot lead us astray. They can foul up our simplicity of devotion to Christ. They can tamper with our confidence. They can raise doubts in our mind. Each one of us, especially those of us that read, you hit something and it sows some doubt in your mind. Wait a minute. That's a contradiction. And you start to doubt. That's the spirit of Antichrist at work. John says, you're not going to let that happen. They cannot take away our eternal life. They cannot destroy our faith. A true believer under the onslaught of false teachers will not deny Christ. But we may struggle with doubt. 2 John in verse 7, many deceivers, he wrote, have gone out into the world. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. You get the idea that this is a recurring theme with John? He's really worried about this. It's over and over in his writings. If you deny that he is the Messiah, that's the antichrist spirit. If you deny that he is the Son of the Father God, and therefore therefore bearing the essence of deity, that constitutes an antichrist attitude. If you deny that he is God in human flesh, that's an antichrist attitude. Summing it up. To say anything less about Jesus than what is true is to deny anything about him that is revealed concerning him in the scripture, and therefore you take your place with the Antichrist. So, wrapping it up. John says, I'm telling you all these things. I'm writing you this because I'm aware of those that are trying to deceive you, to make you think that they have the truth. And I'm telling you that the very fact that Christ was attacked by these people, the Christ that you know to be the Christ of Scripture, the Christ that God has revealed, the very fact that there's a relentless attack on the nature of Jesus Christ as to his deity and humanity and messiahship, the very assault on the essence of his teaching in the gospel should prove to you that he is the Messiah, and it is the last hour. 1 John 4 and verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. If you do not confess Jesus with your mouth as Lord, if you do not agree with Jesus concerning who he is, as has been revealed by him and in the scripture, if you do not make the right assessment of Jesus, you are not from God. And this is Antichrist, the Antichrist attitude. You've heard that it is coming, John said, but now it's already in the world. Brethren, we have a great battle. A battle every day, every hour. To keep our minds pure, to follow the gospel, to do what Jesus has asked us to do, to affirm his lordship, his messiahship, his place as our Savior. John says, you can be successful if you will persevere. Do not give up. We never like to close without offering an invitation. If you're here and we can assist you in any way, we ask that you come while together we stand and sing the song selected.